beyond limits. And today, it's where it went downhill for me on day two. So the title of this morning's message is Together We Are Stronger. And I found that out the hard way. And I think that the beauty of the sermon series that's now a two-year tradition of Genesis Metro is we go on an adventure, and we have no idea, right, what's ultimately going to happen. We have some constructs that we know we're going to try to create while we're out there, but then there's the things that happen that you're not expecting, and wrapped inside of those are some incredible messages. And so on day two, for those of you that are new to Genesis Metro, we went on a six-day adventure back in October with no food, no water, no shelter. And on day two, it completely came unraveled for me, and I had a food allergy. I had about 45-plus hours of sleeplessness, and then we were food-deprived, and what food that I did eat because of my food allergy, it exited my body. And so before I had to leave the game this night, we're about 5 o'clock in the day when I shot this video, I felt like, you know, this was a good opportunity to try to express what I was feeling. And then this is kind of the video that ensued from that. And we'll build on this thought this morning about together we are stronger. Watch this video with me.
It's day two. Apparently, I've overdone it. And I might have a mild allergy to hickory nuts. So it caused me to be ill. And I am feeling it big time. One of the cool things about being on this expedition with six guys is that, you know, everybody has a role. We have guys that are tending the fire, guys that are building the shelter, guys that are getting water, hunting, fishing, dragging firewood from God knows where. And I can honestly say, even in day two, that it'd be very difficult to do this by myself. I know for a fact that together we are stronger. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us to think about today.
Man, do I look terrible right there? Does anybody else think that? I went back and I had to catalog all the videos. In my catalog for the title, I put, Tim looks like death. It's hard to even like watch yourself when you look like that. I mean, because obviously I couldn't see myself when I'm shooting the video. So when we got back and we're pouring through the footage, I'm like, man, I look terrible right there. And so I assure you that I felt every bit as bad as I looked in that video. And the great lesson that kind of sprang from that is that ultimately I'm getting ready to go downhill even further, which I'll get into at the end of this morning's message. And if I had not assembled the right team, if I had not invited people along with me on the journey, and not just people, but the right people, then this would have never come to life. And I want you to think about in your life, who are you inviting on your journey? Because God certainly didn't intend for you to live life alone. Even going back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, do you remember what the first problem man had was? Does anybody remember? Anybody? No, before sin even happened in Genesis 3, in Genesis 2, when he looked upon man, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So even before fallenness was aloneness. And I'm telling you, I believe aloneness is one of the biggest problems that we face in our marriages, in our Christianity, whatever you want to say in life. Whenever you feel like you're alone, that is a terrible condition because God created us to be relational beings. Number one, relational with Him. But number two, relational to the people around us as salt and light to a lost and dying world. So I want you to consider this morning, are you doing life alone? Because it is certain that together we are stronger. I want us to look at this as exemplified so perfectly. As a matter of fact, after I shot that video, the guys were praying for me down by the river, and I could hear them praying too. It's weird, like, you know, in the mountains, the sound travels, because it's like in a valley and it's in a vacuum, and I could hear them, and they were concerned about me, and I think I became more concerned about myself as a result of hearing them being concerned about me. And in my mind, I was like, no, I'm going to make it. I'm fine, you know. And I did a devotional, and it was on the subject that we're going to be covering here today. David had an interaction when he was on the run with Saul. And I covered the sermon about what happened down in the valley, but I held back back around October. I was preaching on this passage because I saw some gold. And as preachers, you know, if we have too much gold, you can't just put it all on the table at one time. Sometimes you got to hold some back. And I knew that I was going to cover this topic at some point, and that point has arrived. And so today we are, I'm telling you, get ready. You just buckle up right now, because today is going to be a fun sermon. We're going atomic elbow from the top rope. And so, so today I want us to talk about David is on the run. Saul with his army is trying to kill him. And David is going to have an exchange with a couple of his soldiers. And they have an opportunity to make a choice with their loyalty, with their allegiance. And wrapped in their decision, we're going to find our two different destinies. And this morning, I want you to know that wrapped inside of your decision with what you do with God and the invitation that he puts before you, wrapped inside of your decision is certainly your destiny this morning. So as we peruse through the passage this morning, I want you to be considering, what are you doing with God's invitation to your life? Because silence is certainly an answer. And so today, let's get into the passage and let's talk about together we are stronger. David knew this truth as a mighty leader of men. It says, then David rose and he came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay. So he's looking from the side of a mountain down into a valley, and he can see where Saul is. He said his general Abner was by his side, the commander of his army, and Saul was lying within the encampment while his army was encamped around him. So Saul and his general are laying there in the middle of the camp, and the entire army of Saul is encamped around him. So insulated he would have appeared from David. Then David said to Ahimelech, the Hittite, and to Joab's brother Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, who will go down with me into the camp of Saul? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. Now, I want you to notice, this is going to be important. Tuck this away. I know these names are a little weird. You don't have any Ahimelechs running around, do you? Did anybody name their kid Abishai? If you did, God bless you. Okay. So here we have two guys, right? You got Ahimelech and you got Abishai. And the invitation was to both, right? The invitation was to both. But only one accepted the invitation. So as we walk through this morning's message, I want you to start thinking about David was inviting his soldiers to join him on a mission. He was inviting them to this crazy moment. As a matter of fact, I titled the first point, An Invitation to the Insane. An invitation to the insane. I mean, whenever you start following after God, it is literally an invitation to the insane. Because I'm sure that Abishai and Ahimelech were looking at what David was looking at. And before David ever had the thought of going down into the valley, that thought was not going through Abishai's mind. That thought was, no one with David was thinking, you know what we should do? We should take two guys and go down into that valley where that entire army is that's waiting to kill us. Nobody else was having that thought. Is everybody following me this morning? All right. So David, because great leaders of God have thoughts that no one else is thinking. Have you ever noticed that? And so here was David, and he had this thought that I need to go down into the camp where Saul is. And not even to attack him. It's not even like a military operation. It's really to prove a point about how big God is. And so he looks at his guys and he offers this insane invitation. Who wants to go with me down into the valley of uncertainty? Who wants to go with me into the belly of the beast? Who wants to go with me into the unknown? And Abishai raises his hand. It almost seems like without hesitation and without reservation, he decides to go down with David. Man, I was considering this invitation that we've all received. And you may not know it, but as I explain it, I think you'll get it. That we all have this invitation from God into this insane relationship with him. You say, well, why would you use the word insane? Have you ever tried to dissect? Have you ever tried to deconstruct your faith in God? Have you ever thought about it? Like, what did it take in order for you to be saved? It's nothing short of an insane story of how you accepted Christ. I want you to think about all of the moving parts from the creation of Adam and Eve up until the moment that someone extended you the invitation to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to just wrap your mind around the fact that God was sitting on a throne in heaven before he was ever called Jesus. He was Jehovah God. He was Yahweh, an incommunicable name of the Creator God. And he was on a throne where he had sat for all of eternity. And he decided to leave all of that, to come down and become part of creation. And then he even entered in style, right? I mean, he came born of a virgin. Who else has ever been born of a virgin? No one. No one has, all right? Miraculous. And then he lived an incredible life. And then he died an inspirational death. And he rose on the third day. And he has invited all of mankind on this incredible journey. Consider that he took 11 men, and they weren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. They were fishermen, tax collectors, a couple of other guys thrown in there, and he chose the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He chose 12, and 11 followed him into the unknown. 11 followed him into the valley. 11 of them received the invitation that had been given them into the insane. They dropped their nets, and they followed after him, and they literally have changed the world as a result of their acceptance of the invitation. And I wanted you to consider something this morning. How could David offer this invitation to Abishai and Ahimelech? And I want to put forth a theological concept for you to consider, one of those big bracket thoughts that you could put around your life. You cannot offer to someone else what you yourself have never obtained. You cannot offer what you have never obtained. You see, David knew all about the invitation to the insane. He could have written a manual on the invitation to the insane at this point in his life. When he was a young boy, the Bible says he was out taking care of the sheep and a bear came out of the woods. Do you know what he did with the bear? The bear was like, I invite you to a contest to the death. And David kills the bear. And then a lion comes out one day and the lion issues an invitation to the death, and David kills the lion. And then on one day, sporadically in life, the father of David, Jesse, sends him up to take a sack lunch to his brothers who were soldiers fighting in the battle, although they weren't fighting, were they? And so they get up there, and he's delivering the lunch, and what does he hear? He hears an invitation going out. There's a guy named Goliath standing in the valley, almost 10 feet tall, a giant. And he hears the invitation, give me a man that I might fight with him and he with me, and the loser will become subservient to the other. And no one else is accepting the invitation. And David is like, it was nameless, but to David, it was for him. He's like, reservation for one, I'll be out there in just a little bit. I'll be out, you just wait for me. He goes and has a talk with King Saul, who is sitting comfortably in the tent, not going out. He goes past his brothers who are shivering and shaking in their fear on the side of the mountain, and he walks down into the valley against Goliath and talks trash. I just love it. I'm a trash talker myself. It's biblical, folks. He said, "We will see who is able to deliver today." And then he takes his slingshot, he throws the stone, hits the giant in the head, knocks him out, jumps on top of him, grabs the sword of Goliath, chops off his head, chops off the giant's head, holds it up. I mean, if you want to get gladiator, the Bible does it better than any cinema Hollywood could ever do it. I mean, that is awesome. If you think that Christianity is for the weak-willed, man, I mean, no. Go out there and chop a giant's head off this week. Can I get an amen on that? Yes. Yes, that was your moment. And so the invitation to the insane was something that David was familiar with. He had already obtained his invitation. He had opened it. He had received it and began to walk in it. Therefore, he was able to extend what he himself had already experienced. He was able to offer what he himself had already obtained. Who will go with me down into the valley? I want you to think about this. How are you ever going to learn how to offer grace if you've never obtained it yourself? How are you going to learn how to be as forgiving as Christ if you've never obtained it yourself? Don't you remember the disciples stumbling over that one? How many times do you want me to forgive? Looking for that clause where your mercy should run out. And yet God's mercy renews every day, day by day, the Bible says. And yet, where's your mercy? Are we full of judgment and venom? Or are we light to a dark world? How can you offer the abundant life if you yourself aren't walking in it? When people see your life, do they see abundance? Do they see joy unspeakable and full of glory? Do they see faith that is able to move the mountains? You see, you can't give what you've never gotten. You can't be able to offer what you've never obtained. You can never extend what you've never experienced. How important is it for you to receive the invitation that God is giving you? And I'm telling you, it's insane. It's like that time they were out on the water. Does everybody remember that? The storm was raging. It was the middle of the night. And this glowing figure, began to move across the sea. And Jesus, you know he had a sense of humor. You know he's like waiting for the storm to raise in the middle. And he's like, oh, watch this. Watch. He's like talking to the Father, right? Watch this. And he's like, I'm going to glow across this water right quick. And dude, that's awesome, right? Is that not awesome? And so he goes glowing across the figure, like, or across the sea, like only Jesus can do. And he says, hey, guys, it's okay. It's me. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And Peter asks for the invitation. Lord, if it's you, what? Bid me to come. I mean, are you seeking the invitation to the insane in your life? Because if you're not, you're going to miss it. You're going to be like Ahimelech. It's going to pass you by. Number one, an invitation to the insane. Number two, don't, and I repeat, don't go alone. Don't go alone. For self-reliant people, this is getting ready to get tough this morning, all right? If you are a self-reliant person, just get ready, all right? Top rope, atomic elbow, I said it again, we're coming for you this morning. See, sometimes you gotta hit people hard because they're stubborn, okay? And you self-reliant people, which by the way, I'm a self-reliant person, so I'm preaching to myself, all right? You need this morning. Whenever you're self-reliant, you always think that you can do it better. And you always think you don't really need these other people. And you know what? If I invite them, I'm just going to have to manage them. I'm going to have to clean up for them. And I'm going to spend more time telling them what to do than I am about doing it myself. Am I talking to anybody in here yet? Can I get an amen on that? Yes. If you don't know who you are, if you're married to them, bump them real quick, all right? Say, he's talking to you, all right? So here was David giving us this picture. He's saying to Abishai, I can't do this on my own. He was admitting that he needed someone to go with him on the journey. And he was extending his hand. Man, I'm telling you, don't go alone. Don't walk alone. Whenever you walk alone, I'm going to tell you, there is, follow me on this. There's a certain selfishness, okay? It's subtle. But it's there, I promise you, just underneath the surface, it's there. There's a subtle selfishness to certain types of selflessness. Now, we value selflessness in our culture, right? If you're selfless, we say, good job, way to be selfless. You're being like Jesus. But watch this. If you're being selfless so that you don't have to interact with other people, then you're being selfish. Because how are you ever going to raise someone else up if you always walk alone? In ministry, we say this all the time to our staff. Just because you can do it by yourself doesn't mean we want you to do it by yourself. Because when you invite people into the equation, there becomes collaboration, and together we are stronger. I'm telling you, the sum of the whole is greater. It's gestalt, if you don't know that word. Look it up. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts, is the theory. So we as the body of Christ are actually together stronger than you added up all of our individual pieces to the equation. So we need you to do your part. You need me to do my part. And together we can conquer this world. Don't go alone. You know, whenever some people walk alone, there's a very specific reason why many people do this. And it's because when you walk alone, there is no accountability. You can justify any of your behavior when you walk alone. I guarantee you, try this on. When you walk out of here today, if you are a person that walks alone, you don't even have to make a decision with the information you're given today. Here comes the invitation from God. It's coming out every week, just getting served up there. Here's some invitation. Here's all these incredible things God is inviting you to. And guess what? If you walk alone, you can go out those doors every week and never be changed. You can have a marriage that's falling apart all around you and never be transformed when you walk alone, because you can figure out a way in your warped, twisted mind that it's okay to live like you're living. It's okay to act like you're acting. It's okay to be absent in your parenting. It's okay to not be leading or providing discipline, structure, or as a father, providing spiritual leadership and guidance for your family. It's okay. You know, someone else can do that. The church can do that. When we walk alone, we will never grow. When you invite people to walk with you, they're going to see, right? They're going to see what you do. They're going to see what you are. And hopefully you'll even invite people into the equation that you say, you know what, if you see me going astray, you let me know. You see me falling in an area of importance. We're not talking about a critical spirit. We're talking about iron sharpening iron. Don't go alone. Speaks to the fact that we need each other. But I want to quickly qualify the right type of people. The next point, ride or die. Ride or die. Now, that's one you use every day, right? Does anybody know what ride or die means? Does anybody know what that means? What does that mean, Rick? You're all the way. You're down, right? You're down. That's what Rick was trying to say right there. We're down. Ride or die is short for you ride it out or you die trying. That means when you said I do at the altar, what you were really saying was ride or die, all right? If you have true friends, what you're really saying, if you're there for them through thick and thin, through bad, through good, for better or worse, that's ride or die. And you better have some friends that are in your life that are ride or die type of people. Because I'm telling you, life gets crazy. When I was out there on the mountain, I'm telling you, things broke down quick. I mean, I went downhill so fast, it was insane. My body broke, my mind broke, everything about me broke in a way that I'd never even been broken before, and I would have never thought I would have needed someone to help me when I felt helpless. And if you've never invited someone along on the journey, the Bible says, woe be to the person who falls and has no one there to pick him up. Oh, be careful who you choose. Because I want you to notice something subtle, but it's there. Ahimelech said nothing. Did you notice that? He didn't say, I won't go. He just simply sat in silence. Do you think that some people, when they come to church, do you think it's possible that sometimes we believe that sitting in silence is somehow like, I'm remaining neutral, and that God is looking down and he's like, you know what, you just take it easy. You just ride the fence. You know, have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That's really what I'm shooting for your life. Do you think, he said, I want you to be hot or cold. I want you to not be Luke. I can't, Luke. He said, I vomit you out of my mouth when you choose the middle. He said, pick a side. And here was Ahimelech, and in his silence, he said so much. David said, who is willing to go with me? And his hand was extended. When your leader extends his hand, are you ready without hesitation and without reservation to take it into the unknown? Because I'm telling you, what you do in that moment says so much. You know something interesting? Not everybody that is with you is with you. If you haven't learned this in life, you're going to mess up. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt bad. Because sometimes there's a crowd around you, but that doesn't mean that they're with you. Has anybody learned this lesson in life? Can I get an amen on that? Just because they're with you doesn't mean they're with you. How do you know? How do you know if they're really with you? Because when it gets crazy, they say, I'll go with you. When it calls for a sacrifice, they say, whatever it costs, I'm willing to pay the price. You'll find out who your friends are if you invite them into the valley. Here was Ahimelech sitting there in silence, and he missed his moment as a result of his fear, as a result of his apathy, as a result of being distracted. We don't know why he sat in silence, but we know this, that his destiny was wrapped in his decision. The first time we ever see Ahimelech is in this passage. And the last time we ever see Ahimelech is in this passage. The first time we ever see Abishai is in this passage. But this is not the last time we ever see Abishai. Abishai becomes the general leading the 30 mighty men of David. When he becomes king one day, he anoints Abishai to become the leader of his greatest infantry, his special forces. He said, Abishai, I want you to lead them. Now, where do you think that decision was made? Do you think that was made when he was crowned the king? Or do you think it was made that day when he was a fugitive on the run and he extended his hand and he said, who will go with me? What you decide today determines your destiny. Don't miss. Oh man, my heart breaks for those who miss their moment. David is extending this invitation just like God is extending an invitation to you. Matter of fact, when you really think about it, there was another king named Jesus Christ who hung on a cross some 2,000 years ago. And I don't know if you remember this, but he extended his hand too to two different guys. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember that? There was a thief on his left and a thief on his right, and he extended his hand. He extended an invitation. An invitation to the insane that though you're a convicted felon, sentenced to capital punishment because you've done something incredibly horrible, atrocious, something that you and I could never imagine doing. And here he was in his last moment, and God is extending his hand saying, I can forgive you if you would believe. And one of the thieves says, God, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus says, today, not next week, not next, today, you will be with me in paradise. The other thief hears the same invitation. The same exact invitation. The same Savior. The same God. And he rejects it. And wrapped in his decision is an eternal separation from God for all of eternity in a place called hell. Do you think it matters what you do with your decision? Absolutely. You would be a fool to believe that one day you won't be called into account with what you decided when God said, will you go with me? If it gets crazy, will you go with me? I mean, we shudder at serving once a week. We shudder at writing a check for 10% of our income. David is saying, will you go with me down into the enemy's camp where death looks almost certain? I guarantee you, if we can't do the simple stuff, you'll never get to the hard stuff. God extends his hand this morning. He says, you're invited. Now, we close with this, the law of inspiration. Inspired people inspire. I want you to consider that this morning. Inspired people inspire. If you are a person of inspiration this morning, I guarantee you it's because inside of you, you're already inspired. David was already inspired, and he inspired Abishai to follow after him. And Abishai took it, and he ran with it. And then, here is an awesome point that I found out in the scriptures. Who you inspire today might just be your lifeline tomorrow. Watch this. This is 2 Samuel 21. Now David is king. Watch this. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines and became exhausted. Let's stop there. Man, I'm going to tell you, if you get into this fight, if you follow after God, do you think that you're ever going to get tired? Do you think there's ever going to be a moment where you grow weary? Of course there is. Can anybody relate to exhaustion in here? Just a quick show of hands. Anybody ever hit that wall in your marriage? Ever hit that wall in your parenting or in your career? Or dare I say, even in your faith, where you got into the fight and now you've unexpectedly hit this wall of exhaustion? I mean, David had never experienced this before. When he went out into this battle, never in any other battle that David fought do we read he grew weary. He grew exhausted. But David wasn't as young as he used to be. You see, David was getting a little older. Can anybody relate? You can't do what you used to. Can anybody relate to that? You can't run the 40 in under 5 anymore, right? You can't dunk a basketball anymore. No, you cannot. You can't stay up all night anymore. No, you cannot. You're not as young as you used to be. He said he grew exhausted. And I want you to know that our enemy is an opportunist. He is waiting for that moment when you grow weary. Look at what happens. It says, and Ishbi-Benob, check that name out, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead was 300 shekels, or that's 8 pounds. So just the tip of his spear was 8 pounds. That's half of Goliath, who was armed with a new sword, said, I will go and kill David. He was waiting for the opportunity for the leader to grow weary, for the leader to become exhausted. And I promise you, we have an enemy that walks around waiting for your opportunity when you grow weary, when you get weak. And if you haven't surrounded yourself with some other men of God, if you haven't surrounded yourself with some other women of God, what will happen to you in that moment is that you will lose the fight. You will get taken out. David hearkened back to this moment on this other mountain when he invited Abishai and said, "Who will go with me?" David, being a person of inspiration, because he had received the invitation, had inspired Abishai to become a loyal follower. And now he has grown exhausted. And the enemy is approaching to deal the death blow. I wonder how good it would be. How good it would be if someone was there to rescue David. I mean, how cinematic would the moment be? Next verse. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue, and he struck the Philistine down and killed him. How good is God? You see, sometimes you look at enemies as obstacles, when in reality, they are opportunities for God to reveal himself in you, for your teammates to have the opportunity to step up when you're exhausted. But I'm telling you this, if you're not inspiring people right now, then what's going to happen to you later on? You see, there is an invaluable investment of inspiration. When you think about this, David inspired his Savior in his moment of need. If you're not inspiring your wife right now, all the husbands in here, if wives, if you're not inspiring your husband by how you live right now, what's going to happen when one day you're exhausted? What's going to happen one day you grow weary and you're weak? If you haven't invested your life in the people that you love the most, who will rescue you in your moment of need? Do you think we need to inspire people around us? If your Christianity isn't inspiring people around you, you're doing it wrong. Riddle me this. How could Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be the Lord of your life with all power, with all glory, with all sufficiency? How could he be inside of you and you be connected to that source, you be connected to that power, and people come in contact to you? If I squeezed you and Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, shouldn't inspiration just ooze out of you? Man, have you ever seen someone trying to inspire people that isn't inspired? Has anybody ever seen this? I mean, someone get up and try to talk about an incredible subject, but they're just boring. What is that? That's called going through the motions. Do you think that's inspiring? Do you think that when people see someone just going through the motions of Christianity, they say, you know what? I want some more of what they have. I'd like to have a boring, dull, miserable, bitter life. Could I just get some more of that? No. So this morning I ask you, have you received the invitation to the insane? Is your life typified by inspiration? When people are around you, do they leave and they're like, man, I am pumped up now. I am more excited than I was when I came into their presence. I am more encouraged than I was when I came into their presence. I am more challenged to finish the race well as a result of being in their presence. Or do you mistakenly believe that you can come in here Sunday after Sunday and be like Ahimelech and just sit in silence, worship in silence, never respond to the message? Just you think by being here, that's sufficient. just because you're part of the crowd doesn't mean you're part of the fellowship that has said, I'll go with you into the valley. I know who my friends are. I know who my friends are because they will suffer with me. I know who my friends are because they will save me in my moment of weakness. Out there on that mountain, I can tell you my body broke, my mind broke, everything broke, and the walls were closing in, and I had for the first time my introduction to what people, I guess, call anxiety. And I can only imagine what a prisoner feels like when the bars close and you know that you're not getting out and you don't get to leave when you want to, and someone else is now in charge of your life. When I was sitting there that second night and dehydration had set in, food allergy had set in, snorers are all around me, darkness is all around me, I literally in my mind felt like I was about to snap and there was nowhere I could go. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't go to the other room. I couldn't get in the car. I was trapped on a mountain of darkness and I felt all alone. And I can tell you that night that Doug Charles was my friend. Doug Charles was my friend. Doug Charles took me off the mountain and took me to the place of safety. And you know how awesome the rest of the men were? They were willing to carry on the mission even without me. And that's how all of this came to life. It's because inspired people inspire others, and they'll carry the torch even when you're not around if they are truly with you. At Genesis Metro, you know what we need more of? We need more people that are willing to go down to the valley. And I'm telling you, I will lead you there. I will lead you there. But we need more people that are going to say, yes, I will go with you, instead of sitting in silence and never making an impact with your faith. It's not enough to come sit in the crowd. At some point, you got to get up and you got to go down in the valley. Would you guys stand with us as we worship?